So Hare Krishna, I would like to welcome all of you for this morning's class. I also want to welcome our devotees who have come. I see a few from Zagreb. Ishwara Puri is here. And others are also there. Vijayanayaka, Hare Krishna. And I want to also express a very warm welcome for all these wonderful new people from Rijeka who have set their foot for the first time into a temple. This is what I understand. Welcome. Also, two devotees came by motorcycle from Split, isn't it? Happy that you're with us. From London, we have devotees. Today starts, we officially start today with our Holy Name weekend. And I have decided to talk a little bit about the glories of the Holy Name, but also how to see that while we chant it, we can actually experience the relish, the taste, the spiritual taste of the Holy Name, because that's the big subject.
Vallava Giri Varada Pidana Vallava Idi Varada Rajajanaranjana Yasodanandana Rajajanaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Madhava Gun Vishnavihayati. Jayadata Madhava Kunya Vihadi Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Panchatattva, Jaya Panchatattva, panchatattva, jaya panchatattva.
I want to say the verse which we are reading today. Some say this is where the Bhagavatam starts. It's the first answer to the first question. Parikshit Maharaj had asked, what is the duty of someone who is mortal, who is soon to die? And the answer is given, constant chanting of the holy name. Please repeat after me.
Etani vidyamananam.
Etani vidyamananam.
Nichatam akuto bhayam.
Nichatam akuto bhayam.
Yoginam nripani nita.
Yoginam nripani nita.
Hare nama nukirtana.
Hare nama nukirtana.
It is. Nivityamananam. Of those who are completely free from all material desires. Ichatam. Of those who are desirous of all sorts of material enjoyment. Those who are desirous of all sorts of material. Akuta bhayam.
Akuta bhayam.
Free from all doubts and fear.
Free from all doubts and fear.
Yoginam.
Yoginam.
Of all who are self-realized. Nripa. O King. Nirnitam.
Decided truth.
Adihe. Of the Lord Shri Krishna. Nama. Holy name.
Anu.
After someone. Always.
Kirtana.
What is that? Chanting the holy name. Yes, loud. Translation. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the vase of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are already free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are deeply satisfied within themselves by dint of transcendental knowledge. Purport. Now Srila Prabhupada will describe that there are three types of people who are on the path of life. Three different types of people who live differently. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Well, the first person tries to be satisfied by going outside, getting more wealth, more material satisfaction. The second type goes inside and understands, I don't need anything. I'm eternal already. I'm full of bliss, full of knowledge. So why should I work so hard to get something which lies outside? I remember there is a famous story about one American man who represents the materialist, and he goes, I believe it was in India, to a simple man who is a fisher and who is very satisfied, and he says, the American man, what are you doing? Well, I'm going for 3 hours out for maintenance of my family. I go to the ocean and then I sit with friends the rest of the time. We listen to music, we like to sing, we eat fruits, and we talk. We are friends. Oh, said the American man, you're wasting your life. You can go 6 hours on the boat in the ocean and then make so much more money. And then what will I do with the money? Yes, you build up your company. Then you have 8 boats, and 8 fishermen, then you develop a huge factory, and become the richest man on the coast. Yes, and then what do I do? Says the person. What then you do? When you're so rich, then you take care of your business maybe 3 hours a day, and then you sit with your friends, listen to music, relax, enjoy the life. The simple man said, but I'm doing this already now. Why should I go and make all this huge, huge effort? And then the American man was, you have a good point here. So we take this point a step further, the transcendentalist. He is happy inside. Because after all, happiness is an inside thing. Either you have it inside or you will not find it outside. However, there is a third type of person. No? This was the two types of persons. Above these type of people are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord Shri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. No, nothing for us. No need. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. So three types of people. Materialist who runs outside, the transcendentalist who says, no need to go outside, let me stay happy inside, and then there's a third person. He has a different outlook to life. It's not about his satisfaction, it's also not at all. He wants to satisfy the Lord. What have you done today to satisfy the Lord?
Have you already done something, or something is just now coming? A good question. No? What will we do today to please Krishna, to give him pleasure? We have many ideas maybe what we will do. Then I will eat breakfast. Then I go to town. Then after the weekend I drive with my motorcycle to Split. There will be good wind on my hair. I'm trying not to... You understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to make the point... Or another may say, then I will manage this purse, this place, and I will, the people will be satisfied with me, or I will have, this is not a devotional line. Devotional line starts, okay, what will I do today to please Krishna? It's an interesting concept, isn't it? It's totally different. But I should think of something I do which is just for Krishna. Like I know if I want to do something for one of you, I will have to think very carefully what will please him. I know I have one God brother. He is the master in giving presents. He thinks for 1.5 years. What present would please you? And then he goes to India. He goes on the market. And he looks for the present. He has sometimes 20 people who help him. He's a very prominent God brother. Just with the idea, how will I please this person? And that's necessary if you want to become a bhakta. You have to think like this. What can I do to please Krishna? Should I go closer to this? Yes, please tell me. I'm not so good with technological things. As loud as possible, maybe for the internet audience, or is that the idea? Good. So now in this text, Shukadev Goswami gives a program. He says, for devotees, there's one thing where you are absolutely free of doubts, that there's no need to discuss it. It is to chant constantly the holy name of the Lord. That will please Krishna. Krishna, there's a Sanskrit word. He likes if people glorify him. He's pleased by this. I think you are all, you can understand if I would glorify, Mario is such a wonderful person. Oh, good, someone appreciates me. We also have this a little bit, this quality. But Krishna likes, imagine or not, that his devotees come before him and glorify him. That gives him pleasure. He's highly satisfied by this. he has no, some of us are, when someone glorifies us, we feel sometimes a little miserable. We think, oh, it's really, really not like this. I know there's one God brother of mine who's very able to glorify everyone, but sometimes it feels, oh no, please don't glorify me like this. We feel not satisfied really in the heart, because we feel I'm very fallen. The truth should be told about me, not some excessive glorification. But for Krishna is to be glorified. Many saints and rishis come together to glorify his qualities, and they try to come to the end of the qualities, but there's always more to say about Krishna. There's always more subject matter for glorification, because Krishna is the absolute truth. There is no end to his glorification. And if we glorify him and chant him, we are always right. It's always proper. There is never excessive glorification. That means too much. It's always truthful. And now comes a very important point. For us, it is much more important to glorify Krishna than for him to hear his glorification. Because the way you come close to Krishna is through, you have to first come close to his holy name. That's how everything starts. When you come close to his holy name, you come close to his form, the way he looks. You come close to his wonderful qualities, like his forgiveness. You become, and his compassion. You come close actually also to the spiritual world, and you become eventually an associate of the Lord who participates in his amazing pastimes. So the holy name is really our first starting point in Krishna consciousness. You cannot approach Krishna directly from his lila, his pastimes, for instance. Or you must go through the name. Because first it's the first introduction. But now listen to this. The name is Krishna himself. Binadvang nama namino, says the Padma Purana, that because he is the absolute truth, who's non-different from his body, it's not that Krishna is a soul who has a body like all of us. No, Krishna is his beautiful form. He's identical with his senses. Every sense of him can perform the sense of another sense. He can eat with his eyes, for instance, because he is absolute. There's no differentiation like in our case. And there is also no differentiation or no difference between him and his name. And when you chant his name, you are together with him. Now, therefore, Sridhar Swami, in his commentary to this verse, says that there is nothing in the world which is more beneficial than the chanting of the holy name. However, the learned Jiva Goswami adds one very heavy condition. He says, this is true, there is no greater benefit from chanting than chanting. However, you have almost no benefit if you chant in the wrong way. You must chant in the right way. You must chant avoiding the 10 offenses. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in the rest of his purport, will talk in detail. It's a beautiful detailed description on the 10 offenses and how to avoid them. He goes into great detail, and I remember once in Paris, in the town, Prabhupada gave an initiation ceremony there, and he had someone read from this second canto the entire purport. We said that it's 20 minutes long. And where he had described how to avoid the 10 offenses. It's a really nice personal reading matter. I'm afraid, because it's very long, if I read it now, we will not be able to be very focused. Why is this so? See, if you continue with your activity, which
are based on your ego, you will be selfish, and that means you will offend others, you will offend God even, because you are in the center of your life, and you want others to serve you. You do not wish to serve others. You also don't wish to serve Krishna. You want to enjoy Krishna consciousness for your own purposes at that moment. So, when you are like this, in an totally under the control of your false identity and your ego, at that time clouds come and cover you from the sun of the holy name. Today is the sun is shining very beautifully, but we cannot experience the benefit of the sun rays because of the clouds. It's a cloudy Ljubljana day. I understand if finally we are happy that there's some rain. There was so much dryness this summer in Slovenia. That was scandalous. Now finally some rainwater comes. So this I want you to really know. My dear devotees, Krishna is present when you chant. But as long as you have the clouds and the fog of your offenses and avidya in the way, you just cannot see Krishna in all of this. This, therefore, Jiva Goswami says, yes, the chanting is beneficial, but you must avoid the 10 offenses. My dear devotees, when I found this out, I don't know why you joined the Krishna consciousness movement. I joined in the beginning just to have a good adventure. I understood this would be a very adventurous life, but then later, when I understood this is not right, Krishna consciousness movement, you can actually meet God. Wow! I thought that's good. Let me try to meet the Lord through the process of devotional service, bhakti. So then later I began to understand this, and then I thought very deeply, how do I do this? How do I come in contact with Krishna through my service? And I understood I have to avoid the offenses. And now, since many, many years, I'm trying my best to really work patiently in avoiding these offenses and becoming a selfless person, not an egoistic person. Someone who wishes well even to his enemies. That's not easy. People who hurt you, but to really try to wish well for them. That is necessary if you want to develop love of Krishna. So because that's more important than anything else for me now. I'm also now an old man, and my godbrothers are dying left and right, and I'm thinking I will also die, so better try to take this serious, this Krishna conscious process. And my tip to you is wake up as soon as possible and take it serious as soon as possible. Don't wait like me until you become an old man and the energy leaves you. Do it now. Now is the best time. So therefore I'm trying to work very seriously on my chanting, because this is the only way I can meet Krishna. Jiva Goswami, he's one of the main philosophers. He is also a personal associate of Radharani in the spiritual world. He describes
He gives a point why he says chanting is so important. He gives one Krama Sandarbha, description in the seventh canto to one verse where he says, what is the sequence in which Krishna will ultimately appear in your heart? When will he appear in your heart? And he says, the first point is, a devotee must hear and chant the holy name of the Lord, because then he will develop purity in his heart. His heart will become free from all the unwanted things. So only after the heart is pure and free from all the rubbish we say in English, new word for me, garbage I used to say, but rubbish is better. Only when the heart is free from the contamination, then it is fit for the Lord to appear. And as you chant, you will then see his beautiful form, you will remember his qualities, and finally you will see his pastimes, which will blossom before your eyes. You know, here we have some good support in our new temple decoration. This was not here last year. It is a new improvement. You can see this now with your eyes, but this will be present in your heart as you make it a pure place for the Lord to appear. Just imagine. And you will not just see it like you see a painting. You will actually become totally touched as you see it, totally ecstatic as you are with Krishna. And the world will not be important for you. And even if there are ups and downs, you don't care, because you have found the greatest treasure. And one day you will find yourself entering into the spiritual reality which is reflected in your heart. Can you see behind Ekang Gini there is this painting? You will actually move that type of road in Vrindavan, and then you will hear the sound of the flute, and you will hear happy laughter and happy talk, Lord Shri Krishna, and you will look down your own body and whoops, it's no longer a Slovenian passport holder, whatever. You will see it as a totally effulgent spiritual body. This comes, but first the heart must be purified, because that's in the heart. We need the heart. Prabhupada described it to be like a spiritual television set in which all this is becoming present. No, it's in the heart, and you need to purify it a little. It needs to be clean a little. Krishna, please do not doubt this. Please, the text says it's doubtless, and you don't need to be afraid of this. So I want to just end. Maybe Padmakshi, you can take this and give me this. Here's a good place to put it. Can I drink a glass of water, please? Good. That's good for the voice. I'm back in action. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. It's most important. Then he adds, if one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of God. And Srila Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport to this. This verse comes in the Antya Lila, fourth chapter, text 71. He says, this chanting does not depend on any paraphernalia. See, that is why it's so nice. You don't need a car to chant. You don't need an airplane to chant. There's nothing outside of you. You have already everything which you need. This chanting does not depend on any paraphernalia or on having taken one's birth in a good family. You can come even from a very normal family, no problem. But then he says, one thing is necessary, however, by humility and meekness, one attracts the attention of Krishna. That is the statement of all the Vedas. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can verily, very easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna and Kali Yuga. Why do we have to become humble? I was often asking this myself when I first joined the movement. Why always? I'm from North Germany. We are not humble people. Why do I have to change this? Because, see, the ego is not humble. It's not meek. Well, sometimes you get into a minority complex, or you have something in your personality, then you are externally very humble and meek, you know, yes. But it's still the ego in another disguise, you know. Oh, I'm so useless. Oh, I'm so unintelligent. Oh, this is not humbleness and meekness. This is still the ego in another disguise. Humility means, if you really want to be humble, doesn't mean to think great of yourself or to think less of yourself, or I'm so useless. It means to just not think of yourself so much any longer. either if you're talented or totally untalented like me, it's not the point. You are not so important, Mr. Unimportant. It means you think about Krishna. You change the subject matter totally. And then you come to what we say, then you become free from your false identity, from your either where you think I'm so talented or so untalented. It's the same thing. It's a false identity. It's a false ego. So humility is more than just a nice feeling where others like you. You know, oh, such nice person. He's not a troublemaker. He's a humble soul. No, this is not the idea. Humility means you think of yourself from a deep spiritual place in relationship to Krishna. I am a soul. I am a part of Krishna. This makes you at once very tolerant to the external circumstances in which you find yourself. In Sweden, I learned something new about humility. Can I tell you? Humility, the word comes from the word humus. I don't know if this is an English word. I have to turn to my English speaking people. Humus. I have never heard it. It's actually a German word. Humus. It's a very, very nice earth.
The hummus, yes, hummus. Yeah, yes, I know, you just say it with some English pronunciation. Hummus, is that the word? Someone has mobile telephone, can help us? Hummus is a chickpea paste, so that's not the right word we are looking. Hummus in Slovenia. What is it in English? Hummus. It says hummus. Yeah, I know English. Hummus. See? Yes. It's a special earth. I think Madana Manohar will know. Hummus. This special type of earth. Plant can grow from it. Very nice plants can grow to it. So this meekness and humility is really the foundation for an ecstatic spiritual life, because the plant of bhakti can grow in it. The bhakti cannot grow in your in a heart which doesn't have this hummus. That is what the voice said, isn't it? Humus in the Slovenian language. Humus. You know, if you don't have this earth, the plant, this good earth, there will be no minerals in your earth, and so on. So if you have not this humility in your heart, your bhakti is not nourished. It's like a plant in a desert. So this feeling of, Krishna, Krishna, I'm really in need of your mercy. On my own strength, I cannot chant the holy name. O Gurudev, please make me an instrument in service. Without these feelings, there is no nourishment for your bhakti, and your bhakti becomes dry, small plant, and it withers away and dies. It's the exact opposite of this false ego. No? The false ego will nourish you for your material activity. But for your spiritual activity, you do need, this is called in Sanskrit, dainya. It comes from a deeply spiritual place, and it is in relationship to Krishna. And we all know this. When we sit down for the kirtan, in great material, in a lot of distraction, thinking so much about material subjects, about our plans, or having this feeling of being spiritually not fulfilled, but not acknowledging it, you know, just being dull. We cannot really chant. But if we chant from this place, oh Krishna, I really need you. I want to glorify you. I want to please you with my activities. I so much need you now. I need the association of devotees. The chanting is the best experience in your spiritual life. But without this feeling, you have not given the ground, the proper earth, the humus, so that the plant of your bhakti can grow. I wish you all a really very, very nice time in Slovenia, in Ljubljana, for the Holy Name retreat. It's not a Holy Name retreat. I'm giving so many retreats. I'm getting. Where are we here? For the Holy Name weekend. This is called the Holy Name weekend. I really wish you that you can
absorb yourself. I know some of our devotees will who live in Zagreb, and there are other programs in Zagreb in the temple. Please, if you have time in your cars or so on, listen to recordings. Maybe there is very nice internet presence of the Holy Name Weekend. We have some really in Slovenia very good trained devotees to put on internet, and then you can participate. Please let us stay as many as possible, as much as possible, together and glorify the Holy Name. And the Bhagavatam says, therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never give up the heart of such a devotee. Wouldn't that be nice? Krishna's always in the heart. Wow, Jwala. The whole life would change. You wouldn't need anything else. One who has thus captured the Supreme Lord within his heart is to be known as Bhagavat Pradhan, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. Hare Krishna. I will end here. I hope you have taken some enthusiasm, some very good inspiration out of this class. I hope you will dedicate yourself more and more to the Holy Name, working more and more in your life on removing the obstacles to proper chanting. And it would be so nice if in each one of your heart Krishna is always present. Then the purpose of your human form of life has been reached. And it's simple in a sense that there is not so much you have to do and learn. You have to focus on the chanting and avoid the offenses. Because Krishna is the purest of all gentlemen. He will not sit in an impure heart. That's not his atmosphere. It's not his place. Good. I will end here. Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Shede Kato. Hare Krishna. Do you have a question to all this? Yes, please. I think we will give you a microphone. It's just coming from the back.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Good question about adding humus to the land, or the question of just adding emotions into our practicing of chanting. So it's easy to add the humus, we go and buy it. if we don't have it, so how to really add the emotions into the chanting, the holy names, and everything else, if we do not actually have it?
Have it, yes. Thank you. It's a wonderful question. Yeah. Many, many times we have not been able to confront this. We have heard emotions are harmful. Emotions are not necessary. Don't be sentimental. Sajiya! We have heard all this. But this correct criticism is addressing harmful emotions. our texts are full with favorable emotions. For instance, humility is a state of mind. It is it's an emotion. Gratitude. I feel grateful. It is an emotion. Eagerness. Longing. I feel very eager today for my Krishna consciousness to progress is an emotion. The reason why in our movement emotions have often not been given the right place is because emotions is something we cannot always control, and in this world mostly we are born with negative emotions. You know, we feel angry, or a big emotion is envy. These are very things we are afraid of on our spiritual path. Lust. We are afraid of this, and therefore we are not comfortable looking with these at these things. But you absolutely need your spiritual positive emotions, favorable emotions in your spiritual life. Otherwise, you will not move forward. You will not become humble. You will not become grateful. You will not have all the eagerness in your heart. You will be emotionally dead. And this is mostly what we in our what we have learned, because emotions are sometimes so painful. Therefore, we don't want to show emotions in our culture. We are afraid of them. They come from a place where I have absolutely no control. Things can go wrong with emotions. And therefore, many of us are hiding behind facades, and we don't show any emotions. We don't want to be hurt by others who criticize us. We don't want to deal with this. That is a, it is a known. I remember, just this is a cultural thing. There was once a statement died. I forgot who. And the leading states people, you know, American president, German chancellor, Japanese president, everyone was there, and they were saying something about the statesman and who had just died, and they all gave their formal speech. Yes, he achieved this, he achieved that, they achieved that. Dry speech. Then came the Japanese president. You know what he did? He came to the microphone, he went, he was crying with the whole world looked at him. And he looked back and he continued to cry, because that's what you do when someone dies. No, if he was a good man. It hurts the heart so much, you know, when a good man leaves. And the American president, they were all totally bewildered, totally confused, because in our cultures, we don't acknowledge emotions. We are afraid of them. We are sometimes really ashamed of our emotions. You know, like, that's what I learned. Men don't cry. You know. Why not? It's one of the emotions. Obviously not as much as ladies, you know, ladies cry more. If you, as a man, cry more than a lady, something, the ladies have the right to cry more, and so on. You know, let's not overdo it. I'm trying to make a point, right?
point is there. We here in Krishna consciousness, the perfection of life is, this is lala samayi, when you become so eager and you cry for Krishna. You want Krishna so much, you feel like, I've made a big mistake in giving him up. It grieves you. So yes, there are very emotions is a dangerous thing, and therefore sometimes we are blocking them because we don't want to be hurt by these things, especially not by the negative emotions and so on. And therefore, we do have a difficulty in our bhakti in that part of bhakti where we hear gratitude and where we hear of these bhakti emotions which are necessary. The way to start your emotional life, I mean, not you, the one who asked the question, I mean, every one of us, is with the most favorable emotion in spiritual life to look for shelter. I need your shelter. I am here in this world. I'm arranging my life on my own, but I have come to the insight. So many things in my life I tried to do as good as possible, but they did not turn out so 100% good, because what can I do alone? I now need your shelter. And once you start this life of taking shelter, it's called Sharanagati, you will come in contact with many, many very favorable devotional emotions. I always suggest to do what I personally do since many, many years. I read the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Prarthana, the prayers of Narottam Das Thakur. They're full of devotional emotions, and as I read them and think about them, they come to my heart more and more. And I now think also, you know, I saw this movie of Gunagrahi Maharaj, and Gokrishna had sent this to me. I saw how he left the body. Yeah. But I could understand. I need this will be there, this test in life. Better I find shelter before Krishna's lotus feet. So there, I would just suggest, read the Sharanagati, and if you like to sing them. Maybe you can now obtain the right melodies from internet. I think it's possible. Gokrishna knows computer, at least this part of the computer. He can help us where to download the right melodies, and we can sing and we can pray like this, and then it starts. And really, when you're whatever you do with intensity, that's where you're successful. When you are in your business career, you know, these people who are highly motivated, they have this emotion of motivation, they want to do this, it's a drive, they will most probably be more successful than those who lack this ability. Therefore, companies have asked motivational speakers to come to motivate their people so that they can be more successful, because these emotions are necessary. We are human beings. This is an ability which we have, and so on. It was a very good question, I think, which concerns most of us. So I've explained a little longer. I see now time is there. We want to go for Harinam around 10 o'clock.
I thank you all very much. I wish you a wonderful journey with the holy name, and may Krishna come into all of our hearts during this weekend. Srila Prabhupada ki.